Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, you know the Word. If you read the Word often enough, you know that the Word of God is living, active, and powerful. I want you to think about that. It's living. It's alive. It's not dead. It's active. It's engaged on the earth today, and it is powerful. Since that's true, don't you think we should, for the most part, consistently walk in that active, living, powerful truth? And have you ever thought and wondered just how powerful is God's Word? Well, my guest today is Kyle Winkler, and he joins me to share how we can activate the power of God's Word in our lives. He shares 16 strategic declarations to transform your life. I don't know if we'll get to all those because there's so many more other questions I have for him. The title of his book is Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. I have the feeling once you hear this conversation, you're going to want to copy the book on your own, but we've got three to get into the hands of somebody. So email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and don't forget your mailing address. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Kyle. One, maybe you're new to Faith Radio. You're new to our family. We want to welcome you. Maybe if you're listening in on our FM dial in Hartford, Connecticut, 94.1, or Waterloo, 93.1 FM, or Madison, 104.7, or in the Twin Cities, 90.7 FM. And we've got lots of friends streaming from around the world, streaming online. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio listening audience, I want to know about it. We have just sort of a tradition that we do on Live the Promise where if you email me and leave me your address, we'll pick names on a pretty regular basis and just send a packet of books off of our Faith Radio shelf, just two or three books, to say thanks for listening. Glad to have you part of the family. So email me if you're new to the family. I want to hear from you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Also, just a reminder, we've got this amazing phone app for free, Faith Radio. You can find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Check it out. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Kyle Winkler equips people to live in victory. Love that. His highly acclaimed mobile app, Shut Up Devil, ranks as a top Christian app for iPhone and Android. And I just downloaded it last night. It's great. Kyle's known for using his own story to boast in the power of God's story for victory over fear, insecurity, and issues of the past. Dear Kyle, so nice to meet you and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Susie, and everybody listening to My Faith Radio. Happy Friday. It's awesome to be with you all.
Well, I love having you as well, and I told you before the show, really love this book, and so fun to dig in, and I can't wait to unpack it for our audience. We love to start, Kyle, every single day, every day on the show, talking God's Word, and I know you love His Word, whether it's just a life verse or one that you've just been pondering these days, it doesn't even have to relate to the content, but this is just one way we love to bring the Word to life for our audience. So what do you say? Do you have a verse you've been thinking about?
I definitely do. And I think it's one that certainly goes with the book. It certainly applies to my life. And I believe it's a foundational scripture for everybody who is in Christ, who's born again. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a familiar verse. So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. And I love this. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become brand new. And that's so foundational for all of our Christian lives, that we are made brand new. We are made right. God calls us all kinds of great things that I know we'll get into through this program.
Boy, that's so good. And as you're talking, Kyle, I'm also thinking of the passage that he takes the weak to confound the strong, you know, the simple to shame the wise, the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And you talk in your backstory a little bit about, you know, you felt like you were kind of somebody who was weak, somebody who was not. And yet God met you in that place and gave you, put a new song in your mouth. So I'd love a little backstory just on your journey and how this actually came to be for you.
Absolutely. That's so true of what he did in my life. I was certainly somebody that felt weak and felt dejected and all kinds of other adjectives for that. But I always people if they've ever heard of a preschool dropout, and that's kind of where I start. Most people have never heard of something like that.
It's good to meet him.
For
my
good
first
reason,
one.
I guess. That's right. Suddenly, so you're listening to one, everybody.
I picture you with black leather jacket and spiked hair, and you're just dropping out of preschool. But anyway, keep going.
Exactly. So I was just so shy. For whatever reason, I don't know, I was fine at home. But when I got around people that I didn't know, there was really a shyness that overtook me. And so I just cried and I cried until my mommy let me out of my first year of preschool. But I start there because it didn't get any better from there, really, for so many years. Then in kindergarten and first grade and for some elementary years, they actually thought I had a reading problem, because when they'd call on me to read aloud, that I would just kind of freeze up and not talk. And eventually they learned that it wasn't a reading issue. It was a shyness, a timidity, really an insecurity and confidence issue. And so what it ended up doing in me is it created, you know, these feelings, because I was the outcast. Nobody wanted to be the friend, a kid that didn't talk, and I didn't know how to make friends. And so I was the one that was chosen last for about every team and every group project. And I was the one that was, you know, sitting alone at the lunch table many times. And I'm not trying to just paint the sob story, because a lot of people have been through things like this and a whole lot worse things. But here's what things like that do in people is when you start to feel something for so long, and I felt rejected and a loner and an outcast for so long, that eventually that feeling, if it's not countered by something, that feeling turns into an identity, to where you say, this is no longer how I feel, but this is who I am. So at least subconsciously, though I never really spoke it so much out of my mouth, I really believe I am a reject. I am weak. I am all these other words that even some of the kids cruelly called me in those days. And that became a lens, a rejection lens of struggle and all kinds of various feelings and issues that I would go around, especially in social situations, and I would end up getting rejected even into my early adult years, because I expected to be rejected, because those were the things that I had always dealt with. I just started to assume I was just always going to have to deal with it. I was just bound and determined to believe that just people were never going to like me, and I was always going to have to prove myself. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the backstory of what led me into ultimately writing this book, which comes out of that story and how I overcame a lot of that.
You know, Kyle, I'm thinking many, many listening today are going, okay, that was me. In fact, I just came from a hair appointment, and my hair girl, just love her to pieces, but she and I were talking about how some of the wounds in grade school, even, how they're still so alive today. And like you said, unless we counter them, but truly the damage that mean people do, especially when we agree with them, it goes so deep. So I want to know how you came to, first of all, thank you for your honesty and transparency. I love that you're willing to do that, because you are a, you know, popular author, speaker. You can communicate. You're bold and confident. But I want people to know it just wasn't always that way, and you didn't just come by that naturally. You came by it supernaturally. So talk about how you came to Christ and what happened then.
Well, I came to Christ at 16 years old. I had known of Jesus and known he died for my sins for many years. I came out of a very devout, liturgical kind of a family. And so, but at 16 years old, after I went to public school, some friends of mine invited me to this youth group that was just about 15 minutes away in Illinois, across the river, and because I was raised in Missouri. And what I experienced there was radically different than the Jesus and the God that I had known in my 15 years prior to that. Because when I walked into this church, suddenly I experienced, from everything from the music to the preaching to the environment, everything, I experienced a God that's alive. I experienced a God that was spoken of as that he wanted to have a relationship with me. And they spoke about the word as if it was something, as you said in the introduction of this program, as if it was something that was active and alive and written by a God that has power to help transform my everyday life. And so, you know, some people have a kind of a warm-up period to something like that, especially when they come out of a real conservative background, kind of like I did. But for me, whatever the reason, I was just ripe for it. I just wanted it all. And I just like, Lord, just pour everything you have on me. So I dug deep into the word, dug deep into the experiences and encounters with God and the Holy Spirit that they were showing me and demonstrating for me at that church. And so that started this progression of, okay, I would say to the Lord, okay, God, I see in your word now, after a little bit of time studying, like that verse we looked at the beginning, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old's passed away. All things have become brand new. But even after I was saved, honestly, just to be transparent and vulnerable, I still had certain feelings. I still had certain insecurities. I still had certain struggles from all of the things in the childhood. So I said to God, I said, okay, I see in your word that all things become new, but I don't feel so new in all of these ways. And so God started to unpack some things, which I'm not wanting to try to sell people a drive-through breakthrough here, okay? I'm trying to tell people this is a process that I had to go through. It wasn't always fast. It was sure, and it got me to this point today to where I don't struggle with a lot of those things anymore. But it was really a up to a decade-long process of getting into God's word, understanding what it said about me, what it said about my circumstances, and then taking all of that and beginning to identify with what God's word said about my new identity. And there are thousands of scriptures of what he has to say about that. And slowly but surely, that began to transform every area of my life.
Man, Kyle, thank you so much for sharing that. And we talk about this a lot on the show, about shifting your weight onto God's promises even when they don't feel true, because they are true even when they don't feel true.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, for me, that's when things changed. As a young mom battling Lyme disease and feeling like, you know, I went from having all this passion and vision to thinking, man, I pray I live long enough to see my kids grow up. But it was in that crisis where I thought, am I a believer just because I'm trusting Christ for eternity, or do I actually believe this stuff? And I really had to make a change. And it was exactly as you say. It was a process. It took all kinds of grit. And we get in this habit of thinking that is so destructive. That doesn't turn around overnight. And nobody can change our thought process for us. It's something we have to engage with, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And that's what the word of God it talks about in scripture is made to do. It's active, alive, and it's useful for teaching and instructing, and it's useful for telling us how we should think. And just as you said, you know, we don't get into these thought patterns just overnight. And a lot of these things come from years and years and years of a wrong mind renewal, according to who we really aren't and the things that we go through and all of that. And so it takes an unraveling of a lot of that stuff, and then a real positive mind renewal with the word of God, which does take some time and some grit, as you said.
Talking to Kyle Winkler today, I knew you'd love him. The title of his book is Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. We've got 3 copies. Man, I'd love for you to have one. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. When we come back, Kyle, I'd love for you to tell the story about you just had one of those aha moments when you were studying the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to know what you learned. And then we're going to talk about some of these practical strategic declarations and how this works. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kyle Winkler. He wrote the book Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. We're going to talk about the power of God's Word and how this works, where you start to align with, and as Kyle said, identify with the promises of God more than you identify even with your circumstances. Kyle, you said in the book that you had an aha moment as you studied Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. You're looking at the armor of God. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this aha moment really changed so much of my ministry and really has become a theme of a lot of what I talk about. So I was going through, as I was writing and on the full armor of God, and I just wanted to do kind of a practical and historical application of those 6 pieces that we call the full armor of God. And so there I am. I'm reading in Ephesians 6, and I read the passage where it starts out. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power." And then it says to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes on, he says, our struggle is against our coworkers and our in-laws and our spouse. And no, I'm just kidding about that. Although it might seem that way for people at sometimes, I understand. But Paul actually says, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then he goes on, and remember in verse 11, he says, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But then in verse 13, he goes on, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, verse 14, stand therefore. And then he lists out the various six pieces. And so as I'm going through that, and I was kind of in a heightened season of attack at that point as well. And so the Lord really highlighted that word stand. I'd never really seen that before as many times as I'd read that, but he highlighted that word stand. And here's what God said to me, and I want everybody who's listening to really listen to this because this is revolutionary for me. God said, Kyle, spiritual warfare is not about having a bloodbath or a fight with the devil who is defeated, but it's about standing in the victory of the one that defeated him.
Hmm.
Spiritual warfare isn't about having a fight with the devil that's defeated, but about standing in the victory of the one that defeated him. It's about standing in those six pieces, those identifying pieces of the full armor, which really represent who we are and what we have in Christ. See, at the belt of truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a breastplate of righteousness. He's the source of your righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The shoes of peace, he said, I said this to you, so that in me you have peace. He is our peace. There's a shield of faith. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He's the object of our faith, the helmet of salvation. Obviously, he is our salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And of course, John 1:14 says the word became flesh. Jesus lived among us. So every one of those aspects or articles of the full armor of God, the Lord showed me, is part of our identity, part of what we have as a new creation in Christ. And the devil wants to knock us off our positions. And so much of our insecurities and offenses and all kinds of things come out of the devil trying to say we don't have those things, the peace and the salvation and the righteousness and all that. But God's saying we just need to stand in those things, which is really standing on the power of what the Word of God says about what we have and who we are in Christ.
Boy, that's awesome. I want to talk for a moment about life transformation. I'm going to read a little excerpt and have you kind of unpack it a bit. And I'm reading from Kyle Winkler's book, Activating the Power of God's Word. He said, Satan knows that the greatest hindrance to our being powerfully used by God to tear down his strongholds is believing that we aren't good enough, that God doesn't love us, or that God is not pleased with us. And that's it. Nothing else can take away your authority, like insecurity about who you are. And you say a popular quote offers a profound insight into what ultimately affects our destinies, either negatively or positively. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. This is a very big deal. And in the same chapter, you give an illustration of particular thoughts that are so consistent, like you failed at that endeavor, you'll never succeed at anything, you might as well quit. I'm a failure, this will never work out. Feeling sad, walking with your head low, that's how it translates to actions. Then the habit, you're afraid of ever taking a risk. And then the character attribute becomes you're just known as mediocre. Talk about that transformational process, both destructively and redemptively.
Right. And so that's so much of what I went through, and I know what many people are going through, because it all starts in the mind. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about arguments and obstacles that come against the knowledge of God. So much of our warfare, I really believe probably 99% of the spiritual warfare and attacks and threats and lies and accusations that we face really happen between our two little earlobes in the mind. It starts as a thought. And just as you said there when you read from the book there, it starts as a thought saying, oh, man, I failed at that. I'm just a failure. And that's where it goes then. The devil then tries to get you to identify with that feeling, with that circumstance, with what somebody said about you. And he wants to change that into your words. He wants to change your I am, because that's when you start to identify. Just as I said at the beginning of this program, the thoughts in my mind were, I'm a failure, I'm a reject, I'm a loner, I'm an outcast. And that then was something that I took on myself. It changed my I am. And then I started to live that out in my life. It trickled down to affect my actions. I did walk with no confidence, acting like or seeming like I was just, you know, might as well go eat worms. I was just a poor, pathetic person that couldn't do anything. And then that became my character. I was known as somebody. They used to always say, oh, Kyle, he's just so quiet. He's just so shy. And I just used to hate to hear that. It really bothered me. But really, that's what people thought about who I was. And that started to trickle down to affect my everyday life and to affect my destiny. And I think the devil ultimately used all those things in my past to try to derail my destiny because he knew what was coming up ahead.
He sees
it all starts in the mind.
I was going to say, and the devil sees our potential long before we ever do. And he goes for it before we even know what hit us. We've got about 3 minutes before our hard break at the bottom, but I want to know when you started to see the fruit of this. Well, you start to apply God's word. You start to stand in his word. You stood on it even when it didn't feel true because of God's word is true. How did that start to bear fruit in your life? What glimpses did you first see?
I would say, of course, at 16 years old and a few years into high school, it started to have some sort of effect. At least I started to know God's promises and started to understand what he said about me. But really, it didn't really take major effect into my life until after my college years when I would be, I was really having to try to make a career for myself and become somebody outside of my family and all of that stuff. And there were a lot of insecurities that came into that. If I was walking into a room and people were laughing, I thought, oh, they must be laughing at me. So I had to start identifying with what God's word said, changing my I am, saying, no, I am a child of God. I am accepted amongst the beloved before I would walk into certain situations, before I would make certain phone calls, before I would go meet new friends, all kinds of situations that would have otherwise just shrunk me back in fear and kept me from stepping out, even into going into ministry. And then, of course, into my own ministry. Every step was something that I had to look to God's word, God's promise, and start to speak it out loud out of my mouth, change my mind and run it through my mouth to say, no, this is who I am. I am not my past. I'm not what somebody else said about me. I'm not my feelings. God's word is my reality.
And that is what somebody needed to hear today, because as we start to do that, I mean, things change from the inside out. This isn't the power of positive thinking. I mean, I want you to make a distinction. Yep. You may have to carry this over to the other side. I mean, the world has adapted a positive thinking mindset, and you know what? They see some fruit from it because it's a shadow of redemptive thinking that we are in, you know, that we are heirs to. But say a word. I'd say you got about a minute, if you would, but make a distinction, if you would, between the two.
So positive thinking, and I make this distinction in some of my writings, is positive thinking is saying, I can do this, I'm able to do that, but this is not I can, I am, I can do. This is I can, I am in Christ. The whole point of this is to get your mind off of you and onto Christ, because it's not really about you. It's not about you at all. In and of ourselves, you know, we can really do nothing. But in Christ, remember, we are new creatures in Christ. That is our new identity. In Christ, we can do whatever God asks us to do, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus.
So good. Talking to Kyle Winkler today, title of his book is Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. If you need a faith shot in the arm, if you need even a perspective reset, I'd love for you to have a copy of this book. We just got three, but I want you to email, because maybe you're the person who will win one, right? Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and we will have more great conversation in a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, having a great conversation today with Kyle Winkler. He wrote the book, Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. And Kyle, you know, without thinking about it, we develop certain habits and beliefs to compensate for the lies that we believe. And you even developed the analogy in your book about, I think you had a shoulder injury, and so other things you were compensating around that shoulder thing, which created other problems. And that's such a great example because it translates into our lives. I'd love to know from your own life how you cultivated a new habit around your new identity. So once you start to lay hold of your identity and say, I'm not that, I'm not who I used to be, this is who I am because God says I am, how did you develop just new habits around praying and speaking God's word?
Well, it all, again, went through the mind and went through the mouth. I had to develop a habit of changing my thinking and changing my speaking so that it would trickle down to affect every other aspect of my life. So just as I said, and this is the principle that the book is based upon. And so if people can grab a hold of this, this is what will really transform their life. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 there, as I mentioned before the break, we overcome arguments and obstacles set up against the knowledge of God by taking them captive according to God's word. That's what the verse there says. And so if the knowledge of God is God's word, the arguments and obstacles are set up against the truth of God's word. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to use the arguments from the past and the various obstacles and the vices that he sets you up with to try to usurp the word of God to make it seem more real in your life than the truth of God's word. But the way you cast all of that down is by taking those thoughts captive, those feelings captive. I like to think of God's word as a lasso of truth. All of those lies and insecurities and mind games and everything are floating around you, trying to get into your mind to run through your mouth. And you've got God's word, and you're roping it with that lasso of truth, and you are bringing those lies down, bring them captive so that they don't influence you. And so the way that I had to do that is when I started feeling those insecurities and issues rise up in me, I searched the scripture for what it had to say, the promises that it offered about that various situation. And so if I was feeling like I was fearful and afraid to go into a situation, I found 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so I'd focus on that, I'd meditate on that, and then I'd change my I am according to that. And I'd say, I am a child of God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but I have power, I have love, and I have a sound mind. And the interesting thing about this principle, of course, the Old Testament talks about meditating upon Scripture fairly often. And we sometimes confuse meditation today with New Age philosophy that's just kind of contemplating your navel and staring and thinking positive thoughts. But really, it's in Jewish culture, it's a process of thinking and speaking. It's a very emotional process, and God calls us to do it. So I meditated on those things. I am a child of God. I don't have a spirit of fear. And that, over time, I started to believe more of what I heard myself say and what God's word was saying about me ultimately than the voices of the enemy trying to say, oh, no, this is what you've always gone through. This is what you're always going to have to go through. Hmm. And so that began to be a habit in my life, that I did it with every situation. And I still do it today, of course. That's what keeps me in stable conditions and feeling emotionally stable. And that's what keeps my life transformed, is this is a practice that you do as often as you can, especially when you're feeling good. It's like taking a preventative medicine or vitamin, that you don't just do it as an emergency dose when you're under attack. I wake up in the morning, I go throughout the day, I speak these things out loud over my life so that I'm built up and confident, so when those attacks and thoughts do come, I can easily take them captive and rope them down before they can start to influence my actions and my character.
On somebody, and this is what you write. You said, I strongly advise you to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to Scripture that counter whatever situation or emotion you face. Then personalize the Scripture into confessions that you keep with you. Finally, speak them over yourself throughout the day, as often as necessary. This will help you begin to genuinely believe what you confess. You must identify with God's word in order for it to change your identity. And I'd love for you to, if you can, paint the visual. If we could peel the sky back, I'm thinking kind of like this present darkness. Frank Peretti does it so well, where he gives visuals to what's happening in the spiritual realm. Because when you think about rehearsing Scripture, sometimes people let it stop there. I'm rehearsing, I'm trying to replace a bad thought with a good thought. But if we believe what the word says, that it's living, active, and powerful. Now, our strongholds in our lives, these, you know, cavities in our lives, they're strong too, but they're not even a competition against God's word. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like we're not just replacing good thought with bad thought. When we go after it with that sword of the Spirit, with the mighty word of God, to tear down strongholds, if you could give us a visual of what's happening in the spiritual realm when we start to engage and activate our faith by praying and standing on God's word.
Well, we know, as we looked at in the full armor of God, that last article of what we have in Christ is a sword of the Spirit. And we know that a sword does no good if it's just in its holster at our side. I mean, it's there and it might threaten some people, but really whenever you take it out of its holster and you actually use it, that's when it has the most power. When I was even studying some of the stuff in the historical application, and this is a real revelation for me as well, what the Roman soldier would often do is, if there was an enemy off in the distance, he would take that sword out of his sheath there or his holster, and he'd wave it in the air to signal to that enemy that I am armed and dangerous. You better get back and retreat. And so in the same way, when we use God's word, which is active and alive, it is a sword sharper than any double-edged sword, and we take it out and we speak it over our lives, we run it through our minds and we run it through our mouths, it is like that Roman soldier in the battle. There might be a devil that's off in the distance, that's salivating, looking for his moment to attack, looking for his moment to put those feelings and all that old identity and all that old junk on you. But when you are speaking God's word, you are waving that weapon in the air saying, I am armed and dangerous. I know who I am and what I have in Christ. And that enemy doesn't dare come close to you at that moment, because when you know who you are and what you have in Christ, it keeps Satan silenced in your life.
Come on. And I got to say, and I'm sure you would echo this, that when you do stand on his word, when you speak it so that your own ears hear it, I mean, faith comes by hearing. When you're praying it and speaking it, something physiologically in me changes. I feel physically stronger because I know that I'm standing kind of like my pastors say, over the glory spout. You know what I mean? You're standing yeah. on his power. But isn't that amazing? Don't you feel yourself built up when you do this?
A faith rises up in you
yeah.
is mm-hmm. the best. A confidence, a boldness. It's not a self-confidence.
No, right.
It's a godly confidence, because it's not of you. It's something external that comes into you, and faith rises up in you. I always like to say that science is slowly catching up to what the Word of God has said all along. And now it's interesting, and I talk about it in the book, about how they're now finding research that shows that your mind actually reacts faster to what it hears you say than even what it hears you think.
Wow.
And so that's why I am so much a believer in speaking God's word. Of course, it's great to run it through your mind, but if you're really going to use it as a weapon, as that sword in spiritual warfare, then you've got to get it out of you. The devil can't, he can put thoughts into your mind, but he can't tell what you're thinking. And so it's not really as much of a threat to him unless you start to speak it out loud. That's when he knows that sword is being waved in the air, and he's saying, oh, no, they know who they are and what they have in Christ. I can't touch them right now.
Wow, it's amazing. So in each chapter, you've got this hashtag activate the word that ties into the topic of your chapter. I want to read one just to give an example to our listeners, because it'll fill your heart. It'll strengthen and embolden your faith. And this one's about not worrying. You said, I'm not influenced by feelings of worry, anxiety, or fear, but I have love, power, and self-control. Because God's Spirit lives within me, I am strong and courageous. I cast all my cares on the Lord, and I know that His peace is guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And talk about this, the whole idea of these activated boxes that you've got in each chapter and what you're going for here.
So these are what I call the strategic declarations, and I call them strategic for a reason, because I didn't just go and just kind of randomly pick out different verses to base a declaration on, but I really, when I went to write the book, I really prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, lead me to verses and promises that really cover the totality of everybody's life. And so that's why I've got verses or declarations in there that deal with finding identity and purpose, finding experiencing rest and refreshment, overcoming obstacles, and winning your spiritual battles. And I think that covers just about everything people are going through. So these declarations, or what we call the activate the word sections at the very back of every chapter, really take all the scripture, all the promises, all the teaching in the chapters, and it puts it into one declaration that you to help you identify with what you learned and help you identify with God's word. It's not just about mouthing words. And I don't want it to be just this repetitive process that you just read it and you don't feel anything with it. But we put it at the back of every chapter so that as you're reading, like on that one that you read, it's in the chapter called I Don't Worry About Anything. So I go through and I show you why we have reason to fear not, how we be strong and courageous, and how we can take on that identity of being strong and courageous and bold, even if we don't feel that way. And so then, regardless of your feelings, regardless of your situations, you come to the end of that chapter, that activate the word part, and now you have a declaration to put into words to help you identify everything that you just built up your faith with and all those scriptures that we just covered in that chapter before. And of course, that comes out of what I did in my life. That comes out of how I identified with God's word by speaking these things, putting it into my own words, and personalizing those scriptures for me.
Mm. Here's another one. I'm no longer identified by past sins, mistakes, or regrets, but by the righteousness of Jesus. Because God has placed his spirit and his nature in me, I live in the power of his presence, according to the truth of his word, and with the mind of Christ and the mouth of faith. I love that one. Do you have a particular one? I'm sort of putting you on the spot, so say no if you don't. But a favorite one in this book that kind of makes your heart come alive?
I would say that one that's been big for me has been, I can do whatever God wants me to do, especially coming out of the insecurity that I came out of and the struggles and the, you know, all the various stuff that came along with that, that tried to beat me down and tell me that I was too disqualified, that I even couldn't be in ministry, that I wasn't good enough to do whatever. I was, you know, you'd never speak in front of people. You've always been afraid of people and all that. But then when I got called by God, and really I started to feel at 18 years old or so that this is what I was called to do in some form or fashion, that ministry was going to be what I did. I didn't know what kind of form it was going to take. I had no idea that this would be my message, but I felt called to that. But at the same time, all of those things from the past made me feel like, you could never do this. You would never be good at that. And so that declaration there, and the chapter is just called, I can do whatever I'm called to do. And that declaration comes from the idea that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13 there.
I'm going to read this. Oh, go ahead. So sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just saying that I would meditate on that verse, speak those things aloud. I can do whatever God has asked me to do. It's not my own willpower. It's Christ's spirit in me that enables me to do whatever he's called me to do.
So good. Here's that one. Because of the Spirit of Christ in me, I am filled with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and empowered to do the greater works he promised. Christ in me gives me strength when I'm weak, clarity when I'm confused, the right words when I need them, hope when I feel discouraged, joy when I'm weary, and the ability to do whatever God asks of me. I want to read this one, too, before we go to our final break. And this one's from the chapter, Something Good Will Happen to Me. And it says, I know that God is great and desires the best for me. And so I trust that any pain, sorrow, or struggle is being used by God to bring about his goodness in my life. Because God's power is working in me to accomplish far more than I can ever ask or imagine, I pray, think, speak, and live with great expectations. Having a great conversation with Kyle Winkler today, Activating the Power of God's Word is the title of his book. When we come back, Kyle, we're going to have a conversation about God's desire to heal us. We've covered this quite a bit on the show, and I'll explain kind of just where I've landed, and I want you to talk about where you've landed, and we'll just see where we land. Got three copies of Kyle's book, Activating the Power of God's Word. Susie at myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Wow, having such a fantastic conversation today with Kyle Winkler. Title of his book is Activating the Power of God's Word, 16 Strategic Declarations to Transform Your Life. And Kyle, without making our audience who know me so well to have to sit through my story, I just got to give you a little synopsis because I really want to have a back and forth dialogue about this. But as I mentioned to you, when I was a young mom, I battled Lyme disease and it ravaged my health. And then for about the next 20 years, I had good enough health. I had symptoms that nipped at my heels, neurological stuff, but I could do a life. I taught aerobics and whatever. If I'd get a little tired, the symptoms would flare, but I just knew what I had to do. But the Lord did promise me back then that he would heal me someday. And I sort of realized I quit contending because it came back with a vengeance this past year, and my life was turned completely upside down by it. In that place is where God started to really speak to me about, you know, I made you this promise. Now, I'll tell you, my son, about a decade ago, was miraculously healed, medical miracle, from a severe back injury. I mean, the doctors there, they could say nothing, but this is just a miracle. So I know God does that, right? What I have struggled with, and I'll, you know, is some of the word of faith extremists, so to speak. Like, for example, I've heard countless stories. I'm a conference speaker. I heard one from a woman who said, her word of faith friend told her that she'd killed her baby because she had a miscarriage and didn't have enough faith. That kind of stuff, it just irks me to know. And that's spiritual abuse to me because it's like, wait a second here. You need to comfort her. You don't tell her she's lacking faith. So
it only puts shame on people is
totally.
What it does.
Totally. And I had people say those kinds of things to me when I was sick the first time. But I know the Holy Spirit is alive and well. I know there are too many miracles to deny that he doesn't. But it's the mystery of the godly people who have faith and still get sick and die. And I loved what you said in your chapter on healing. You said, you know what, first of all, the gospel is just, I mean, you look at scripture, Jesus is for healing. That's such part of what he did.
Absolutely. No doubt there.
Yeah. And then you said that, you know, it's God's will that none should perish, but still some do. And that was a light bulb moment for me. But let's just dialogue about this a little bit, because there are still people I know, even in our listening audience, I think, who've been so hurt by the extreme name it, claim it, that they're like, don't tell me that God heals all the time, because if I don't get healed, you're telling me there's something wrong with my faith. And that's where people get messed up. So speak, if you would.
Well, you know, this is a source of tremendous debate. Is it God's will to always heal? Does God even heal today, some people will ask. And so I always say that we have to be careful not to draw conclusions about the will of God based on bad experience. I mean, there are plenty of bad experiences that we all could talk about. And too often we base our theology based upon experience instead of what Scripture clearly teaches. And so I bring up the analogy of if you go into a junkyard, that you'll see piles of old, dilapidated, beat up, ruined cars. Now, you wouldn't walk into that junkyard and ask somebody and say, well, why did the manufacturers create the vehicles like that? But clearly, they didn't. The manufacturers created the vehicles in a pristine, perfect condition with, you know, no intention that they would end up in the condition they got with. So blaming the manufacturer for the final condition of the vehicles is foolish. The problem is that somebody wrecked them. And so today, we live in a fallen world, obviously, and the experiences of suffering, sickness, disease, death, a lot of people then will blame them on the will of the Creator, but that was never the original will of the Creator. The original will of the Creator was that everything would stay good and in perfect condition. So what we experience today is a result of what I call a reckless driver named the devil and a visual impairment called sin. And that's, of course, where all of our sickness and all of these things come from. So we can't look at our situations and the realities of our situations, which is very true that a lot of good, godly people don't get healed in the ways where they pray. But we can't look at that and say, oh, God must have changed his mind, or God has afflicted us with this, or God isn't standing on his promise, because all throughout the scriptures, we could go through numerous, God talks about his will for healing for people. So that makes us then have to wrestle with, okay, what does God mean? How do we see that? What happens when it doesn't work out that way? And, you know, I think the cross is the ultimate manifestation, the ultimate demonstration. Isaiah 53:5 said, by his wounds we were healed. And so that's a definite statement, that we were healed. Now, how does that work out in our life? And what are the realities of that is the big question. And it's definitely more than just spiritual healing. I mean, the healing there is from Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and that Israel knew God as a healer in physical, emotional, and spiritual ways. And so it is talking about physical healing as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to continue to talk. You know, I appreciate that so very much. And what I just really have, having come through this, I have a renewed passion to see people wrestle with God, to stand on his word, but to also cooperate with him, because there are times, a lot of times, I think, when healing is a process. Sometimes you see a sudden phenomenon, like what my son experienced, but there are a lot of things, like you said at the beginning, so many of us want a drive-through breakthrough, where I believe God really wants to walk through us, because we have all these accommodating things that would put us back in the place if he zapped us today. You know what I mean? Wrong thinking, habits that maybe need to be tweaked. Maybe we need to establish a good bedtime. I mean, there's times where the process is very important. And but I believe that many, many people live with a low-grade fever, so to speak, a low level of misery, and just sort of write it off as God's will, or even take a martyr mindset like, well, you know, everybody has their cross to bear. But in this case, he bore that cross, right?
That's right. Right. I mean, the finished work of Jesus provided our healing once and for all. So we have to stand on that promise regardless of what we feel or what our situation is. It doesn't mean that we deny reality. I'm not, and I think sometimes, especially as you said, in the extreme word of faith kind of movements and stuff, it's all about just pretending and putting on a facade like you're not dealing with anything. And I think that's hurt people and made put people under a lot of shame and put people bottling up things that they really need to talk about and get out.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't use our mouth to prophesy doom and gloom to our reality. We need to use our mouth with the word of God to prophesy life into our reality. It is okay to say, you know what, I'm really struggling. I have this feeling. I have this issue. I have this symptom. But I believe that God's word says, by the wounds of Christ, I am healed. Now, we don't know how that's going to manifest in our life. We know that God provided that out of the cross. We don't know. Maybe he will do an instant healing. But as you said, more often than not, it's a process.
Yeah. And I got to
certainly in my life, it was a decade long process, and it's still a process at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still, you know, my recovery time's a whole lot better, but you know, there are still things that try to come into me at times. But it's applying God's word and his promises to those feelings and not letting those things take control of my life.
And that is, I would say, as I've walked through this last year and a half, I was so confronted because he did make a promise to me, and I'd sort of quit contending. I quit, you know, I don't know what happened. I was well enough. And when this thing came back with a vengeance, one of the passages he gave me is from Psalm 18. It says, I chase my enemies until everyone is destroyed. It's like, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And I'm telling you, there's something so powerful. I rehearse and pray his, you know, these promises around my healing every morning and every night and in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, and any break I have, because, and it's doing something in me. I can tell, I feel like something's girding up in me. And as you said, I might get a miracle suddenly. This process may happen and Jesus may come back before then. But one way or another,
right,
I'm gaining ground in this walk of faith by standing on his word versus rehearsing my symptoms, you know?
And you're gaining a Christian character through this process. Now, again, I don't want people to confuse and put words in my mouth that I'm saying that God afflicts us with things, because
mm-hmm.
I don't believe God's up in heaven saying, I want this person to have cancer and I want this person to have depression and this person to struggle with that. No way. He came to destroy the works of the devil, not hold us hostage to those things. But in our enduring and our standing, like, there's that word again, stand in the victory of the one that defeated him. And our standing on the promises of God, it creates a character in us that the world desperately needs to see, that we can go through some of the darkest times. We can go through some of the greatest pains. We can go through trials and tribulations, which Jesus said we would go through. But those things don't have to define us. They don't have to defeat us. We can rise with Christ in a resurrected life above all of those things. And I tell people, because I've got a lot of people that write into the ministry, and they're struggling with things. I mean, some of the most heartbreaking things. And those struggles haven't all been taken away. In many cases, those struggles aren't taken away. And maybe people don't like to hear this as much because people just want a quick fix to things. But really, victory isn't so much in not feeling those struggles anymore, but it's not identifying with those struggles anymore, and it's not letting those things control your life. It's rising above the influence in that resurrected life. It's standing on the promises. You know what? I might feel this way. I might still have this thought from time to time, but here's what God's word says, and that is what I choose to be the definition for my life in Christ.
So good. This is normally when we pray, but you were on such a roll, and I wanted to let you finish that thought. So I'm watching our clock, so I'm just going to say a short prayer so we can, because we've got a hard out coming here. But Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Kyle and his passion for your word. Thank you for your passion for us. Lord, I pray based on this conversation and the truths of your word that you would activate your word in each of our lives, and we would start to speak to mountains that stand in our way, and we would take our sword and we would cut down the chains that bind us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Kyle, I pray you'll come back and join us again, because I feel like we're just getting started. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear brother. Thanks
so
for joining us.
All
right. Lord bless you.
God bless.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.